Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Bernard Courtois, President and CEO of ITAC, the Information Technology Association of Canada. Bernard brings a long history of successes as a top-ranking business and technology leader. Bernard, thank you for coming in today to share your deep insights with the audience.
Hi, Steve. It's a pleasure.
From your perspective, what do you hope to achieve in 2008?
Well, ITAC is the National Association of Canada's ICT industry, which is a large industry, but we have a small staff. So what I hope to achieve with our small staff is real impact this year on behalf of our industry. And the big things we're pursuing where we hope to get some traction this year is strategy for our industry, connecting with government. The skills issue, which is a major one for our industry, and the competitiveness issue, which is a big one for our industry and a big one for Canada as a whole.
What are your personal goals for the next 5 years?
Well, my personal goals would be that as our industry has changed and we look at the various staffing needs we have for our various challenges, that I have the ITAC machine working well enough so that I'm replaceable or expendable.
How do you see the technology landscape building globally as compared to Canada?
Well, I think the situation globally is everybody talks about the world is flat, but some people talk about the world getting actually more peaky. And I think that's what strikes me about the landscape, is that technology, both on the production side and on the deployment and use side, are spreading, and they're permitting the spreading of certain economic activities around the world, and all that is very, very good. I think that's very positive for the world. It has helped control inflation around the world. It has really helped economic development. It is changing societies in developing countries like we would have never hoped. At the same time, the world is going to continue to get peaky in the sense that the more attractive knowledge jobs are going to continue to congregate in places that have a series of attributes such as a good quality of life and advanced education, advanced technology, all of the elements that are required to succeed in a knowledge economy, notwithstanding our own technology and the fact that you can spread work around and people are going to be working more from home and all that. It still remains that when you get people together physically, and they can bump into each other, more seems to happen. And in that regard, I think in Canada, we happen to be blessed with some of the very good attributes. We have challenges we need to face, but I think that's going to be one of the things you'll see, even in the developing world, when companies try to choose places to invest, they tend to congregate around a small number of cities.
What are added areas of interest internationally that we should be watching, and why?
Two things that strike me in the international picture. One is that the cost picture is going to continue to evolve. Even in countries with very large pools of people, like India or China, the demand is going to continue to outstrip the capacity of all countries to generate the number of skilled people we need, and that is causing an acceleration in salary cost and turnover cost in those countries, plus the cost of real estate and moving around and all that are high, and that will continue to be the case. So there is a window of about a decade during which this shift from the developed country to developing countries has been based very largely on cost and is gradually going to be based more on skills and number and depth of the skills required. So that phenomenon is going to take place you're going to see the impact of that over the next few years. And the other thing that's going to happen is the environment, which is a serious concern in the developed economies, is going to affect all kinds of things we do. And that's going to begin to show up in the developing economies as well, where the concern about the environment will be twofold. One, from their own populations achieving a higher standard of living and becoming much more interested in that, And also, if you're going to keep and attract investment, they will find that they have to tackle that as well, and it's going to be a growing concern, and that has a big impact, of course, on the ICT industry.
What are your views on technology education and the projected state of enrollments, and what should be done?
We all know that in just about all developed economies, the trend has been in the wrong direction in terms of kids choosing educational streams that are consistent with technology careers. And yet the need for technology in all sectors of the economy is becoming pervasive and is going to grow, so we're headed for a real problem. And for a country like Canada that is an open society, diverse society, we can use immigration more than others to help compensate that, although we have to pursue that with more aggressiveness. But there's no doubt that we also need to try and reverse this trend of career choices that our kids are taking. That not all jobs in information communications technology require a computer engineering or computer science or electronic engineer's degree, but there's no doubt that as a society dependent, more and more technological in everything and more dependent on technology, we need to reverse that trend. And everybody's facing that. There is no silver bullet. There's no one thing that's going to work. We absolutely have to get to kids and their parents and their career counselors to inform them much better about the jobs in technology and the attractiveness of jobs in technology and the importance of choosing educational streams that will give them that choice to decide to go there. There's no doubt that in terms of getting more women interested in technology careers, we have to face that. It's absolutely unacceptable that half of the world population is less interested in or less attracted to technology than it should be. Immigration, as I said, we need to take advantage of what we have as an attractive location, be much more focused and effective in bringing those people in with the right skills, and also we need to be much better at integrating them, sometimes not so much in terms of their technology skills, but in terms of understanding of the business environment in which they're going to operate, and having smaller firms in particular more open to take people from diverse backgrounds. So a whole range of things, but essentially the biggest thing that's missing, as we've been working on this quite a bit at ITAC, is there's a lot of work going on, government work, schools. Many of our ICT companies have programs to get to kids and so on, and all these good programs individually don't seem to be producing the effect we need overall, and that means there needs to be an overarching message that gets given from the leaders in our industry and the leaders, our political leaders. There needs to be coordination and collection of what's going on so that we identify the gaps. And we have to pursue this with a coherent strategy as opposed to piecemeal as we're doing now. So long answer, because the answer is not simple.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. So together with that, I'm also hearing other news items such as aligning IT with business needs or driving business agility, managing risk through improved governance, as you noted earlier, closing the skills gap and meeting future skill shortages, addressing the productivity gap in Canada versus other countries, improving ICT adoption rates, integrating Gen Y, and more. Can you add to your views that you already given on terms of the top challenges facing our industry in 2008 and beyond?
Well, in addition to the basic shortage of people that is coming up and accelerating because of not only the fact that our industry is growing faster than the economy and the change in the shift and the trend in enrollments means that things are going to get worse before they get better, there's also a need to upgrade the skills and improve the level of skills. We're facing a situation where technology can do more today in terms of improving the effectiveness and efficiency of public services, as well as huge leaps in productivity coming. And to take advantage of technology to achieve that potential is actually becoming more complex rather than simpler, because it requires not just adopting technology off the shelf, but really thinking through how you can change the way you operate to take advantage of technology. And that requires, therefore, that the not only do we need more human skilled human resources than we've had, but we need an upgrading of those resources. And that upgrading involves not just technology, but it's that juncture between business and technology so that the technologist can help the business people and vice versa, and therefore they become one, understand what the potential is and how to seize it. So we're going to have a challenge of numbers and a challenge of quality and package of skills.
Well, you proposed some solutions earlier. Do you have some added thoughts to those?
Well, the fact that generally speaking in society we're going to be running short of people not just to do our technology jobs but to do a whole range of things means that our technology, we're almost part of the problem. The problem we have is something that we can actually help solve for the economy as a whole. There is no doubt that we're going to have to do more things with fewer people. We have left the age of having to find jobs for people, and we've entered the age of having to find people for the jobs we've got. That inevitably means that we should use technology more to do things more efficiently with fewer people. So that should be a good thing for our industry. We're going to find ourselves caught short unless we think about this problem with the urgency it merits. It's as if it's in a way like Y2K. I mean, our developed societies are facing this wall that is coming up, and we're not exhibiting the intensity we need to take advantage of technology or find technological solutions and find changes in how we operate to face that and maintain our quality of life and our growth. I'm quite convinced that we can. If we put our ingenuity and our mind to it, we're going to find that in many cases we're going to have to outsource more things to groups of experts that can serve more than one customer at the same time. We're going to have to change the way we operate inside companies and government operations to use technology more. Those are all indicative of a phase of good knowledge and innovation work coming up. But as I say, we need to approach that with the intensity it deserves rather than be caught short as things will happen to us pretty quickly.
Bernard, one of the things that I'm hearing in industry is this whole concept of Gen Y or millennials. And these are people who are born after 1980. And the impact they're going to have in terms of business or education or government and all the different kinds of market sectors in the world today. What is your view of this group? And do you have any sort of tactics that you think can be used to work towards this group or to get them more engaged?
Well, a few things come to mind in that. There's no doubt that the world has been dominated by the baby boomers for, about 40 years now, both when they were young and now as they work through their working life and now as they approach retirement, and I don't think the boomers will retire like previous generations did. And I think the Gen Y generation is, I don't think it's going to be as large demographically as the boomers, but society is going to be dependent on them more and more as the boomers scale down their work careers. They are different in some senses. They have observed the life and the careers of the boomers, and they perhaps are conscious about some of the lifestyle and personal demands that we made on ourselves, and they're not necessarily sure they want to get into that, so their attitude is a little bit different going in, but I think they will find as they go through their work career that it's very hard to do the best work, which is the most fun to do, if you don't work very, very hard. So that will catch up on them. The other thing is people have the attitude that Gen Y, it was born in technology and reacts with technology in a completely different way than folks who are older than that. And I have a caution about that. I don't believe that the use of technology is a cliff. I think there's quite a spectrum, and you see people of all ages using the internet now to do their banking, to arrange for travel, and all that. And also you will find that very young people who spend hours and hours on Facebook or YouTube or things like that, by the time they have children at home, are probably going to be happy to crash on the sofa and watch some regular TV shows for a while. So there's the two ends are going to meet a little bit. And the people who were the young people thinking differently a few years ago are now mid-career. So people normally see this as a cliff, but it's not. It's a spectrum, and people also change during their careers just because of they go through different stages of their lives.
Bernard, when I do interviews with industry leaders such as yourself, a comment comes up frequently, and that is about this whole concept of small and medium-sized businesses in Canada, and that the proportion is somewhat unique here in this country. Can you comment on that and what that means to the Canadian economy and what that means in terms of ICT adoption rates and so forth?
Well, we have a higher proportion of the Canadian economy occupied by small and medium enterprises, more than other economies, and it seems that our public policies have something to do with that, and there's some good and some bad in that. Smaller companies are quite productive, and they're good for the economy. Larger companies are also needed if you're going to have a range of advanced capabilities and use of technology. So small and medium enterprises, very important in Canada, very important as well as in other economies. And the problem is that small and medium enterprises have difficulty using technology, particularly in the new wave of technology. Obviously, getting an advanced phone system or getting on the internet is a lot easier than what you really need to do today if you're really going to take advantage of technology, which is to think through how you can use the advanced capabilities and interoperability of things today to change the way you do business, not just to cut your cost of your back office, but to grow faster, to have more competitive products, to have a more effective sales operation and reaching out to customers, to have a more effective interaction with your existing customers and future customers. So all those things are difficult, and small and medium enterprises do not have access to the skilled human resources needed to explore how you do that and implement it. Studies show that Canadian SMEs have access to no or very few skilled human resources, skilled in information and communication technology. That's another big challenge we got. How do we get them to access that knowledge? And SME leaders don't like to take the word of a vendor on that or someone that they have no knowledge of. They like to believe and would like to follow someone who knows their business, one of their peers that understands their industry, and maybe to some degree is sort of a neutral third party. So what we're exploring at ITAC, notably with the Ontario government and then hopefully with the federal government to spread it across the country, is how do we reach out to SMEs on a basis that they will engage in, and we can engage them and find a way to help them get the knowledge. There are even people prepared on a volunteer basis to go and help either provide SWAT teams or counsel, management advice, and that kind of thing. But we need to reach out to them. And that, in our view, is a public good. In other words, it is a level of improving access to knowledge that serves society as a whole, and there's no one individual group that can achieve it. In other words, the information communications technology industry as a vendor industry is, of course, quite interested in doing this and tries quite a bit to do it. But as I said, if you're an SME owner, you would like to engage not with a vendor, but with someone who is either more neutral or one of your peers. So that becomes a societal challenge that I think we need to face. And it's very important it's more important today than it was 10 years ago, because what you can do with technology today will have a much greater impact. And the professionals of the ICT industry understand that. The business leaders, particularly if you're occupied day in and day out just running, keeping your business going, etc., it's very hard for you to really think through and seize those opportunities. So we must help them tackle that.
Bernard, do you also see this tying then into your HR forums that you sponsor and you promote across the country?
Well, the HR, our HR activities inside our industry are to help our own industry face its challenges. This issue about the access to skilled knowledge for SMEs is something that we'll have to reach out to. We'll have to reach out to enterprises that are not in our industry but are the ones that need that knowledge and those skills. And that's what we're looking for. And that's what we're looking to try to do in the coming year.
Again, considering your long history in the industry and your considerable success you've have and continue to look forward to into the future, do you have added items to add, based on that perspective that you uniquely have, sort of looking into the future?
Well, I would speak here to our community of ICT professionals and say they themselves have to understand that they're going to be at the center of seizing these opportunities. So whether they're in school preparing the skills they need to succeed in this environment, or whether they're in this environment today and are thinking of continuing to evolve and progress and improve their skills, the thing that we need to think about today is the package of skills that involve the combination of technology and understanding of business. So the technological skills, the soft skills about working with people, and the business skills of business planning and helping a business achieve its objectives better through technology as opposed to simply keeping the lights on and the machines going. That's going to be a big thing, and I think everybody who works in our industry, who is a professional in our industry, should be quite conscious of that.
What do you see as ITAC's priorities going forward into 2008, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, we're hoping in 2008 to actually have some traction on the skills shortage issue. I think we're ripe. There's a number of people looking at it, and we're, with the work we've been doing, we're hoping that that 2008 will be the year where this issue will start to get traction, both with senior level politicians and a concerted effort to tackle this issue. We've been doing a lot of work with the Ontario government on a talent strategy for Ontario, and that's our biggest province. We're hopeful to get the federal government to work on a skills or talent strategy for Canada, but we know there's a lot of players all coming together at this time and beginning to say we've got to do something about this on a concerted basis. That's been percolating for a while, and I think things are going to come together. The other thing we need to navigate is, because we've got minority governments at the federal level, there's always the risk of an election that would change a government. Even when the same party is elected, they rethink their priorities. At the moment, we believe that Canadians are reasonably well focused about the competitiveness challenges we face as a nation. The ICT industry has a unique role in understanding this and in solving this, because we are an enabler throughout the economy. So it's our responsibility to keep the attention focused on these competitiveness issues, and we hope to be able to be successful at doing that through 2008.
You know, there's this UN-founded International Federation of Information Processing, or IFIP, and they have their professional practice program, which received full ratification at the World General Assembly in August of 2007, with their first implementation meeting happening in Montreal, hosted by KIPPS in October of last year. This marks an historical inflection point and speaks to IT as a recognized profession with global standards, profession-based code of ethics, and widely adopted professional certification. And this all happening in 2009. Can you comment on the benefits of this global initiative?
I think this global initiative fits quite naturally and quite well with the whole skills issue that we discussed earlier. That is, we need the mobility of professionals, and we need professionals with recognized advanced degrees of skills. So this initiative fits on both fronts. It's also a natural for Canada. I mentioned that Canada is an open society. We are an advanced technology nation, and we very often have a role on the international scene of facilitating things like this, just because it seems we're a natural to bring people together and help understanding across different mindsets and different entities. So I think it's a natural for Canada to be playing a leadership role in that, and I'm very happy to see that and to see that KIPPS is involved in that.
At this time, what I normally do in the interview is I kind of turn the tables around and I say, Bernard, if you were doing this interview, what kind of questions would you ask, and what would be your answers? So do you have any additional comments to make or questions that you want to bring forward and then provide answers to?
Steve, I think you've covered the main points. There's one thing that I might add. In this world that we're going to, and I think it's quite relevant for your KIPPS audience and your audience of professionals, the whole area of confidence in e-commerce, in the Internet, and in technology, particularly in the face of security challenges, is simply going to keep growing. As we have more and more devices interoperable and playing a whole range of roles, it's going to continue to be a big challenge internally to an operation to make sure we protect against attacks and firms continue to be able to make use of technology and it's not undermined by spam or attacks and so on. But as you see a whole range of devices playing multiple roles and being taken away from the physical location of the office, and the personal lives becoming more transparent with business lives, the whole challenge of controlling that and making sure that the whole apparatus of e-transactions and the Internet that our society is increasingly dependent on, whether it's for healthcare or business, that's going to prove to be a major and growing challenge and a very interesting one for our IT professionals.
Just this sort of brings to mind, we have a large international audience. In fact, we have something like 10 million professionals in the Asia marketplace who actually also listen to these interviews and so forth. What are your views about what's happening in India and in Asia in contrast to what's happening here? Should we be intermingling more with that region of the world, and in what ways?
Absolutely. At the moment, that is the high growth area of the world economically. Those societies are changing and for the better in large part because of the knowledge work or the shifting of work enabled by information and communications technology. The world is getting smaller, and it's absolutely essential for a country like Canada with one half of 1% of the world's population, but naturally open to the world. It should be absolutely natural that we increase our interaction with that market. We are sitting right next to what is still the richest market in the world, but it's absolutely natural and necessary for us not to close ourselves into North America and just capitalize on the opportunities and also take up our responsibilities to play our role and interact with Asia.
Well, Bernard, again, I thank you for taking the time to share your deep accumulated wisdom and insights with the audience, and we will follow ITAC and your work with keen interest.
Thank you very much.